Hey, 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 it's Chaos Queen here, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hey, it's Mistress Carrie, and you are listening to Studio 2009.
Last time, it blew you through the back wall of the theater. This time, it will blow you sky high. This is Die Hard 2, Die Harder. Right here inside Studio 2009, only on the Geekcast Radio Network. Now, on with the show.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
That's right, it's all about the Falcon fucker. There's nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome back into our studio. You're now inside Studio 2009, which is now covered with snow here in July. Only on the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me once again, as always, is Steve Megatron. Hello, sir. How are you?
Good, good.
Good, good. We are continuing on in this five-episode arc. It's either going to be 5 weeks or 5 days. It's most likely going to be 5 days, folks. As we trek through the Die Hard film franchise. And this one, we die harder. Now, I read through various things and various whatever. Technically, this is Die Hard 2, Die Harder. But originally, this was just going to be called Die Harder. I don't know if that would have worked. Because if you notice, between Die Hard, Die Hard 2, Die Harder, and Die Hard with a Vengeance, they dropped Die Hard 3. I mean, yes, we call it Die Hard 3 with a Vengeance, but it is literally just Die Hard with a Vengeance for the third movie. There is no numbering for the third movie. So, I don't know. I don't know if anyone would have gone to see a movie called Die Harder in, you know.
I think they should have just kept it at Die Hard 2. Like, and then Die Hard 3. And then Die Hard 4. Just make it super simple for people.
Yeah.
Die Harder just didn't sound great. Each one got progressively worse, though. Die Hard with a Vengeance was like the like decent, so was Live Free or Die Hard. And then it was
A Good Day to Die Hard,
which was a play on It's a Good Day to Die from Star Trek.
Yeah.
Today is a good day to die. And you know, I mean, Worf.
Yeah. That line came from Worf, but I mean, Die Hard, Star Trek, they have a few things in common. We'll get to that. Yeah. Few, very few, very little, very small. But yes, Die Hard 2 came out in, oh joy, 1990 with terrorists taking over the Washington, D.C. airport of Dulles. Oh my God, are you kidding me? It came out July 4th, 1990. I can't. Oh, man. Oh, I was 10 when this came out. You were 4 at the time. No. You were... Yeah. 86, 90. Yeah, you were 4. We were 4 years apart. That's right.
Wow. Yeah, I was. Oh, I was little.
Yeah, you were little. Holy crap, folks. 10 p.m. and my math is... That's not bad, Mike. That's not bad at all. But Die Hard 2, Die Harder. was directed by... Now, I was surprised at this. I was really surprised at this, and we are going to go through this man's filmography just a little bit. I had forgotten who... Because Die Hard 2 is kind of like the... Up until the fifth movie, when it was originally just the Forquel or whatever, I knew the first two movies... The first movie and the third movie was John McTiernan. I don't remember off the top of my head who directed the fourth one. I'll look at that later. And like we said in the last episode of the podcast, the second one is kind of like a blank spot. It's kind of like a missing whatever kind of thing for us. And it really is, because literally I completely forgot that it was Rennie Harlan that directed this. And I know Rennie's name from other films because I've seen other things that he has done, like A Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4, The Dream Master. That came out in 88. That came out the same year that Die Hard, the original Die Hard movie, came out. He directed Cutthroat Island in 1995. That was the adventure swashbuckling film with... that was the... The pirate type film that came out in 95. He directed another one that I actually will be covering here on the podcast with somebody in the future, because I absolutely love this film. It was actually, it'll be covered next year here on the podcast, because it'll be its 30th anniversary. The Long Kiss Goodnight. It's an American action thriller film with Samuel Jackson. It's a Shane Black film. If anyone remembers Shane Black's name, Lethal Weapon, other things. It stars Gina Davis, Samuel Jackson, and others. He did not direct Blast from the Past with Brendan Fraser and Alicia Silverstone, but he worked on that movie. He directed the Sly Stallone race car movie Driven in 2001. And he's done...
Yeah, I have no frame of reference for that.
Really?
Yeah, I've never seen that. Like,
you've never seen Driven?
No.
Man. Came out basically the same year as Fast and the Furious, except it didn't take off. Like, Driven is one of those movies where it's literally meant to be a single movie, whereas the Fast and the Furious took off and became its own multi-billion-dollar franchise that ended up putting cars in space. Driven took the other path, where Fast and the Furious is NASCAR type race car stuff. Driven is basically the Indianapolis 500 type cars. So, but yeah, I'll show you a trailer for Driven later. He did the WWE film with John Cena, 12 Rounds. So there's that. But yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, like, he's done all these films, and I'm trying to see what he's done recently that you would know. Like he's one of those directors that is not, he's a very niche director. He's not a Michael Bay, like, literally Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4 is probably, and Die Hard 2 are probably the only two, and Cliffhanger. From 93. Cliffhanger was a another Stallone film that you might remember. Also had John Lithgow and Michael Rooker in it. But yeah, I mean, he's a very niche director for what he's done. But I mean, hey, Die Hard 2, right?
Just the facts, man. Just the facts.
Yeah, I mean, it... It wasn't bad. I mean, I actually had a totally different thought of it after I watched it again.
Okay. All right. Well, the differences in the cast for this one compared to the first one pretty much is, it basically comes in the villain. So you have the heroes of Bruce Willis as, this time, the LAPD Lieutenant Detective John McClane. So he went out to LA. I was shocked. I did not think that the story was going to move him out to L.A. Because, again, I did not remember this. Because, for me, Die Hard, the franchise, goes from the first film to the third film. And in the third film, he's back in New York. So, you know, has his wife, Holly, It has Richard Thornburg, aka Dickie Thornburg. So William Atherton's in this. It has a sort of, he's on screen, but it's more of like a phone call, phone-in appearance by Reginald Vell Johnson as LAPD Sergeant Al Powell. So at least Al is here. And then that's it. Everybody else is pretty much all new villains, all new side characters. You got Tom Bauer as Marvin, who basically stands in for Argyle, because Marvin is essentially the Argyle of this. And you got Art Evans as Leslie Barnes, who is the airport chief engineer, who is also, it's kind of, again, it's kind of like they took one role and split it into two. They kind of took Argyle and made it the Marvin character and the engineer character. So John could have two different sides of whatever character, two different types of whatever character. And then you got Fred Dalton Thompson as Ed Trudeau, who is the air traffic flight director. Fred Dalton Thompson, very well known. He was Arthur Branch, the lead DA, the head district attorney on Law and Order for many, many years. Very, very awesome. And of course, we have Dennis Franz as Airport Police Captain Carmine Lorenzo. This is just a few, again, these movies, Die Hard and Die Hard 2 and other things. It's just a few years before he would hit NYPD Blue. Because then, oh no, yeah, no, it is. NYPD Blue, he played Detective Sergeant Andy Sipowicz from 93 to 2005. So imagine the Carmine Falcone character, except he's on TV every week and he shows his ass at least once a season.
Meh.
Well, okay, but I'm saying, like, he doesn't show it once a season, but it was a big thing for ABC in the 90s that Dennis Franz showed his ass on television, literally, because you know how, you know, the big three are in ratings and censorship and blah blah blah, especially in the 90s. Like, you didn't show your ass on regular TV. That was unheard of. Oh my God. But yeah, no. So like I said last episode, like, the cast of Die Hard really isn't stacked. It's a good cast. I'm not saying, I said then and I'll say now, when I say it isn't stacked, I don't mean that it isn't a good cast. I'm saying they didn't throw everything at the in the kitchen sink into that cast. This movie, the sequel, they threw in a bunch of people. Not only in the starring roles for the main characters that you see in the movie, but even in the roles that you barely see. Like, you got John Leguizamo as one of the additional cast member terrorist people. You also have, which, I mean, you can't not notice this guy coming up, because this was a couple of years before his sunglasses cop routine. You got Robert Patrick in the, you got the T-1000 in this movie. Like, how do you not notice that? Especially now in 2025, going back all these years later. I picked him out of the lineup like within 2 seconds. So I was like, hey.
Yeah, it was funny seeing some of the people that you've seen in other stuff, but
absolutely. All right, so you said that you came away with a different feeling or a different whatever. So what are your overall thoughts on Die Hard 2, Die Harder, sir?
I want to send you something here.
Excuse me.
You and faxes? This is a first.
Yeah, well, Holly told me I should wake up and smell the 90s.
Honestly, I hated this film to begin with because I'd never watched it all the way through. I'd seen the end, and I found the beginning and the early parts of the movie all the way through halfway to be extremely boring. when I watched it the first time around. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. I think it was because I saw Die Hard 1 and then I saw Die Hard 3.
Yeah.
And then I was watching Die Hard 2 and I'm like, eh, this kind of sucks. And I mean, going back and rewatching it, like them back to back to back, like in order.
Yeah.
I've completely changed my tune. Like, yes, this one takes place, you know, in that same season.
Yeah.
But it's not in a tower. It's in a plane. It's, you know, he's doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I did feel like they up the ante as far as all of the things that they had him doing. Like, yeah. it was getting more.
Oh, the action in this. Yes.
So it, not that it was bad, but the part of it was unbelievable in a lot of it. Like, it wasn't like the first one was more believable, more grounded, more like you felt for the character. You saw him getting, like, he had to step on shards of glass. He's like scooting across floor. Like, he's getting, you know, all these other perilous things happening that he's just like, I'm terrified. This sucks, you know, and kind of just happenstance of situation. Yeah. This one, it was more like, I noticed something wrong. I'm going to go take care of it.
Yep.
Rather than, you know, anything else, like it was kind of like, yeah, he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, kind of like he is with all the films. But it, not that I disliked the film, but I did. It started a slippery slope with this film where everything got more involved, more dangerous, more, you know, the stunts started getting more unbelievable. Like this one. Yeah, it was more believable than, like, say, Die Hard 4 and 5. but no, I mean, I enjoyed it. I liked the villains. I liked how they kind of played everything out. I liked, you know, his role, and he was telling everybody to, you know, shove off, and he was doing his own thing. Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it for what it was this time around. I had those couple of nitpicks, but it really didn't. Like, I watched it all the way through. There was nothing that I disliked or hated.
Yeah.
And, I mean, yeah, the end where he ups and lights the plane on fire, you know, because he punctured it.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, lights it on fire on the ground, and then it shoots up into the plane engine.
Yeah.
Was quite funny. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, there were moments where it's unbelievable, but it evolved very quickly from what it was in Die Hard 1 to your standard Arnold Schwarzenegger Stallone film.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it kind of took itself away from itself. Whereas, like, Beverly Hills Cop, for instance, stayed pretty grounded in what it was.
Yeah. So
by comparison.
Right. But the difference is between Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2 and Die Hard 1 and 2. Axel is in real life Axel isn't contained in either film. Axel isn't that's the difference. In Die Hard, McClane is in a contained situation. He is in that building. He's not leaving that building. That's the big difference that's the unique difference with Die Hard. He is in it. He's trapped in a building. He can't get out. He can't leave. He only has the one communication thing with Al downstairs and Principal Vernon from the Breakfast Club there. may the man rest in peace. He's been gone a long time. But Paul Gleason, Deputy Dwayne Robinson or whatever his name is in the movie. So that's the unique difference with the original Die Hard movie from 1988 is that film intentionally, the story is he's trapped in a building. He's a New York City cop trapped in an LA high rise with all these people at this Christmas party. And all the other Die Hard movies, or at least 1 through 3, or 2, 3, and 4, because five. At this point, folks, in the recordings, I don't give two shits about Die Hard 5. I don't care about going to see Mother Russia and his kid. I just don't care at this point, because I haven't seen it, and I probably will change my mind when I see it. But because I've seen this movie and Vengeance and Live Free, what I'll say is with this movie is that, yeah, you're right. Absolutely. 100%. They got a chance to up the ante for John and for the rest of the plot. And I know it's based on whichever of the second book. And I know there's notes here in Wikipedia that say the differences, like originally in the book, it was his daughter that was on the plane or something or other, whatever. Okay, fine. They changed a couple of lines, but again, they changed the plot to fit the film. Like, it makes no sense to make a Die Hard 2 Die Harder and have it be Lucy, who is probably what the thing is, like, what I wish, like, I'm assuming it's the next Christmas after the first one. Like, it's the following Christmas after 1988. So it makes more sense that it's his wife on the plane, not his 9-year-old, 10-year-old daughter. Like, of course, so that change from the book is going to make sense. This one, it's not just, and Hans said it himself, who said we're terrorists? They're bank robbers. They're money grubbers. They're people who want the money. Like, they're just people who want the money. Like, they're common criminals. At the end of the day, they're common friggin' criminals in the first movie. Like, are they dangerous common criminals? Absolutely. Fuck yes, they are. Look at all the people they killed. You know, I mean, not trying to take away from the fact that they're dangerous people. But no one ever said that Hans Gruber and his people were terrorists. I mean, they didn't call themselves terrorists. Other people in the movie called them terrorists. These people here in this movie, oh, they're terrorists. So that's the difference. That's the huge difference. Like, these people are from this liberation front. And when Hans is listing off the people he wants released in the first movie, because forgive me, folks, I literally, as of this recording, like 12 and a half hours ago, just finished editing the first episode of this series. So literally, like, New Asian Dawn and Liberation, whatever the list Hans gave to Deputy Dwayne there, Paul Gleason, may the man rest in peace, I say again. I have that thought in my head. So these are the people that he was trying to free, or that he said he wanted to free. These are the terrorists. So, and these are the people that are, you know, they're taking over the Dulles Airport here. So, yeah, this is bigger. This is more stakes, and this is a wider. This isn't John McClane trapped in a 30 because 30th floor, a 35 story building. This is John McClane out in the open. This is John McClane out in the middle of Michigan, folks. I'm not kidding.
Well, I know this film was shot in Michigan. So, yes, a lot of it.
So I scrolled down because originally the scenes from Dulles were the snow scenes were supposed to be shot in Denver, but filming was scrapped due to warm weather. I wonder.
It does happen here a lot.
I know. So some outdoor scenes were filmed in Alpena, Michigan, while others needing to accommodate the landing of the 747 with snow were filmed at former Kitchen Low Air Force Base in Kitchener, Michigan, while other scenes were filmed on a soundstage in Los Angeles using fake snow. So that's how they accomplished all of the background stuff for the snow stuff, folks, here in Die Hard 2. I still like this movie. It's, again, it's not, like I said in the last episode, the Die Hard movies for me are, watch them every now and then. They're not comfort watches for me. They're not, like, oh my god, I must watch that. They're not even background noise. Like, I can't put any of these movies on for background noise. Like, do a lot of these lines live rent free in my head? Absolutely, obviously. I mean, we say yippee-ki-yay motherfucker like it's, you know, second nature. But
yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Going back and rewatching, every time I rewatch the second film, I enjoy it. Because of the characters, because of the plot. And the plot is, it is what it is. It's a terrorist general trying to get himself free. It's the terrorists trying to take over whatever. It is what it is. What got me this time, though, was I had forgotten that Grant's team was in on it with the terrorists. Grant is John Amos is the black guy, the special forces team that comes in, tries to take over. They are in on it with the terrorists, because what gets me is apparently they have a new guy that joined them. And apparently the new guy doesn't know that they are actually bad guys. And Grant in the truck just immediately kills the new guy. And all the other guys are like, eh, okay. So, yeah, Die Hard. I mean, this is what else did I write down in my notes here for this one? This one is more of get to the fucking point than the mysterious mystery of who is doing what to whom. We get introductions, but not like the first film for the bad guys. Like, we see who the bad guys are, but like, we don't get, like, we, these villains are not talking villains. The way we get introduced to the first villain, we see his ass. If Die Hard 2 Die Harder was made in 2025, we would not have seen that villain's ass. I guarantee it. Even if it was a rated R movie. Let's see. We know John and Holly, great, but then the rest, it's a mystery, but not edge of your seat mysterious. Easiest way to tell that the special forces guys are on the bad guys team. Blue for blanks, red for real bullets, because they had the same tape on their guns. I've known that for, what was it, 30 years? How long ago was that?
Funny, it's almost like red laser, blue laser from G.I. Joe.
Pretty much, yeah. I've known that. Well, happy 35th anniversary, Die Hard 2. 35 years ago is when this movie came out. I forgot that this was the 35th anniversary of this film. But yeah, for 35 years, I've known red tape, blue blanks, red blanks thing. And then I remember mentioning in the last episode about some rocket launcher, and it wasn't a freaking rocket launcher. You already mentioned it. But what happens is when John gets airlifted by the news crew, by the news lady and her crew, and he jumps onto the wing and he puts his coat into the aileron. He fights off, which I think is absolutely hilarious. He fights off Grant, and Grant ends up going through the jet engine to die.
I know, but the way that he did it.
Yeah.
He was like, I don't need any more friends. He's like,
right.
I'm sick of you. And then he kicks him. And then I was like, I'm just getting flashbacks of when Captain Kirk kicked Christopher Lloyd off the mountain into the planet that was eating itself in Star Trek 3.
Yep.
And he's like, I have had enough of you, and kicks him in the face, and he falls down into the pit. And I was seeing that when I saw John McClane kicking Grant as he got sucked backwards and into the grinder.
Yeah. So we get that. And then we get him fighting up against the other, not the general, but the other, is it not Esperanza's the general, the other dude, the formerly naked dude from the beginning of the movie. And he ends up not really kicking his butt. He gets his butt kicked, and he gets his butt kicked off the plane. But in the midst of this fight, the fuel flap, he was in the middle of opening the fuel flap to get the fuel to come out of the plane. So that's what it is. So when the second guy comes out after they kill the black guy, after they kill Grant, John is on the edge there trying to open that fuel flap. The fuel flap is open. The fuel is splitting, is spilling out. He gets kicked off the plane, and that's where we get the lighter and Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
And that's how the plane blows up, is the fire trail. But that also leads into the plot point of, because there are no runway lights, the planes who have been circling and have no fuel because they've been held hostage up in the air.
And they can't see the runway.
And they can't, right, because there's no lights. Well, now they're going to use the fire to come in. And the first plane to land, obviously, is Holly's plane. And a subplot point for this is Holly, along with Mr. Thornburg, are on the same flight.
Which was funny. He's like, keep her away from me. I've got a restraining order.
What did you do to him? Oh, I punched his lights out.
And then she's like, you want a drink?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then Holly, later in the movie, hears him broadcasting the whole thing, hears him broadcasting the recording that he stole, and hears him playing the recording that he stole, the broadcast of the other character. Leslie, what's Leslie's name? Art Evans's character, Barnes. I remember his first name, not his last name. Barnes is when he's talking about using the beep 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 beep, instead of using it as a beeping beacon, he uses it as a beacon. Thornburg is transmitting that to the TV reporters. She takes the old lady's stun gun and basically just stuns Thornburg in the bathroom, in the airport lavatory, the airplane lavatory. So that's the end of Mr. Thornburg, and that's the last we see of Mr. Thornburg
Holly.
Yeah, technically, yeah. We get to hear that something happened in the third movie, but because he's back in New York,
they separated or whatever, and she's calling on the phone.
Yeah, yeah, but there's nothing more. And then I forget what happens if anything is said in the fourth movie about her. But by the fourth movie, Lucy's all grown up, and who the hell knows where Jack? Oh, Jack's probably still in Mother Russia.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but no, Die Hard 2, I really enjoyed this. I've only seen this movie a handful of times over the years, but it was damn good.
It's definitely, having seen all five now. Yeah. It's definitely on par with the third one.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know, maybe the third one's less so than... Like, I'm torn because the first one's the first one. Like, it's number one.
Yeah.
And then I'm tied for second with the third and the second. And then I would put the fourth, you know, at tied for third if, you know, for whatever one falls off the second. And then the fifth is still the fifth.
Yeah. The fifth is always going to. And I know I should not say this yet because I have not seen it, but I'm just going to say the fifth is always going to come in last place because the fifth should have never been made.
I mean, even if you go to like IMDb, the ratings, the first one has an 8.2. This one has a 7.1. The third one has a 7.6. The fourth one has 7.1, and the fifth one has 5.2. I don't know. This film was not too bad, though. I did like, again, that Colonel Stewart, you know, he was a really good villain, you know, kind of not over the top, but not horrible. Yeah, he had a mission, and they kept thinking that they took out McClane, and lo and behold, here he is again.
Yep.
Which seems to be the shtick for all of these is like, oh, we killed him. Oh, no, we didn't.
No, you didn't.
Oh, we killed him. No, is there a body? No, there's not. He's still alive.
Yeah. Well, it's like it's like Holly says, is it in this one or the other one? And I think it's the first one. She might say it in this one too. He's still alive because only John can make a man that mad, or whatever it is. There's some line she has in one of the first.
Only John can make someone that mad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, So he's still alive. So yeah. Absolutely. Really quickly before we do anything else in the script, I did want to quickly run down some music stuff, just because this score was released years ago. However, it's not. Die Hard 2 score was not released along with the film. It was published by some company on August 31st, 1993, 3 years after the film's release. The accompanying album consisted only of 40 minutes of music, part of an hour's score being used in the film. And then on November 5th, 2012, the same company published a 2-CD deluxe edition, which consisted of the complete score and alternate cues, which were not used in the score. That was in 2012. So Die Hard 2, All In Records, get on it. Come on, Matt. Come on, Michael. You guys, you got to get on Die Hard 2, Die Harder, because I know you guys, even though it's sold out, you guys did the 30th anniversary remastered limited edition 3D 3-CD set of Die Hard, because I have it in my closet. This has, I forgot to bring it up last time with the Die Hard episode, 3 discs, 40 minutes total. Actually, no, 182 minutes and 44 seconds total. Has previously unreleased music, has previously unreleased material, includes Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC and a bunch of other stuff. I could not stop listening to this when I got this from them years ago. I love that 3-CD set from Die Hard, but they also have Die Hard with a Vengeance, and that is still available for purchase. It is still... Oh, no, it is sold out. I'm so sorry. It was a 2-CD set, but it is also sold out. I thought I had that one. I have to go look in my closet again, I guess. But this one has, if I can pull the information up, it is, like I said, 2-disc set. I'm trying to see if there's anything specific to this one. It does have some previously unreleased material, and then contains unreleased music. Yeah, no, there's nothing. I mean, it's pretty much the full soundtrack from With a Vengeance. But yeah, I'm going to have to track that down before we do the next episode, because I need to listen to me some Die Hard With a Vengeance. But yeah, folks, so that's that. Getting into our questions here. Did the film keep your interest throughout?
Oh, totally.
Absolutely. Are we itching to watch the next film now? Yeah. Duh.
What if we've already watched it?
Well, you know, some people have, some people haven't. Would you recommend this film to people? Yeah, actually, I will defend this one, because it's, like we said, it's Die Hard, but it's not the Die Hard you know. It's the Die Hard characters outside of what you think of Die Hard. It's their story continuing. It's the further adventures of John McClane and his blah, blah, blah. And it's not the high pedestal that we always put With a Vengeance on, which it should be on that high pedestal. I'm not saying it shouldn't be, because With a Vengeance is great. We will figure that out next time, obviously. But yeah, I really would recommend Die Harder to people. I really, really dug it.
Yeah, this is one of those ones I would agree. Like I would recommend it.
All right, 0 to 5 with half points. What are you giving?
I'll give it a 4.
4. Yeah, I'm right there with you. 4. Yep, 4 to 5. All right, folks, we're going to go to a quick ad break here. Some podcast ads and the stuff, and we're gonna come back to close the show right after this.
All right. Find a phone, I'd call you, whoever you are. We'll be right back.
again?
It was Henry
there. Hello.
Yeah, this is Lieutenant McClain. Somebody there just beat me.
I'd like to think I'm somebody.
Honey.
What are you doing? Where are you? Did you land yet?
Honey, it's the 90s, remember? Microchips, microwaves, faxes, air phones.
Hey, well, as far as I'm concerned, progress peaked with frozen pizza.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
Are you missing entertainment in your life? Welcome to Captain Ruggles Gaming. Whether it's guides, roleplay content, or our shenanigans with our collaborations with the 20 years standing strong Fart Clan, also known as Fast Action Response Team, or the Wrecking Crew, we have something for everyone. So join us when we traverse the cosmos of space games, survive the undead in zombie games, or just having fun in first-person shooters or random indie games. Visit us now at geekcastradio.com and youtube.com/@CaptainRuggles or Google search Captain Ruggles Gaming. It's game time, and I'll see you but on the battlefield.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film. Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Hey, welcome to the Last Comic Shop Podcast!
A comic book podcast that actually talks about comics.
Yep, each week we open the shop up and read and discuss a comic.
Sometimes we pair that up with comic book movies or TV shows.
Or not. Lots of times it's just comic books and sound effects.
Oh yes, definitely lots of sound effects.
So tune in on all the major podcasting platforms to The Last Comic Shop Podcast, or check out our library of evergreen shows at www.lastcomicshoppodcast.com.
What's up, folks? My name is Mike, and I am the host of the Mike Seibert Radio Podcast, your favorite Transformers adjacent podcast, and I've got 60 seconds to tell you all about my show. Good thing I've got a catchy theme song to do most of the work for me. I also talk about the Transformers the movie about as much as I talk about Boba Fett. My guests are independent artists who tell their stories and give terrific advice about pursuing your creative interests, and I encourage you to do the same thing, even if I can't take my own advice. Brevity is not my first best strength, but you can subscribe to Mike Seibert Radio on most podcast apps so you never miss an episode. Make good choices!
Imagine a podcast that celebrates the things we love. Why spend time being so angry and cynical about our fandoms? Join me, the Irredeemable Shag, for a show where we're just trying to be happy. The Once Upon a Geek Podcast. Our discussions focus on a variety of geeky subjects that we're passionate about. While the topics will be ever-changing, our focus will be on science fiction, comic books, what it means to be a geek in this world, and other nostalgia-fueled ideas. Life is short. Focus on the positive. Find your joy. The Once Upon a Geek Podcast, part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Cheers Cast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. Slide up to the bar alongside Ryan Daly and a rotating cast of guest hosts as they celebrate the long-running, award-winning television series, one hilarious episode at a time. New episodes of Cheerscast drop every Thursday, part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
For the best in science fiction, join Mark Baumgarten, Vicky Jakubowski, Zion Kiros, and Juan San Miguel on the award-winning podcast Marku 42's Universe. Doctor Who, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Star Trek, and more are all fair game with Marku 42, which has been around since 2012 in one form or another. Marku 42's Universe is proud to be a part of GeekCast Radio Network, the best place to get your geek on. Listen to us bi-weekly or weekly if we have a topic relevant for you, our listeners. Marku 42 on GeekCast Radio Network, a match made in a galaxy near you.
It's Showtime Synergy. The latest review podcast from the GeekCast Radio Network is here. So join TFG1 Mike, Nicole Hailstorm, and myself, Lady Rec, as we will be reviewing all 65 episodes of Joe and the Holograms in a 25-episode long podcast. You can find Showtime Synergy on iTunes and GeekCastRadio.com. We are the truly outrageous podcast that you want to be listening to.
Good morning, loafers, and welcome back to a fantastic show. We've got with us today Brian Blanchard and Brian Johnson.
The Social Loafers.
Every episode is a new episode. We have different categories. We're talking movies mostly. And everything we do is off the cuff, different. It's fun. It's tangential.
And we do it live.
Don't forget to follow us on the Social Loafer Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter on Social Loafer 85. Check us out on Spotify, iHeartRadio.
Loafers out.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk.
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Listen, we're going to be about half an hour late landing, okay? I just wanted to let you know. Kids okay?
Yeah, well, they're about to lose their minds from all the sugar your parents are giving them.
Did Mom give you a hard time about borrowing her new car?
No, not yet. Listen, honey, when you land, can we just, like, you know, rent a car, check into a hotel, we'll leave the kids with your parents, order some room service, a bottle of champagne. What do you say?
You're on, Lieutenant.
I'll see you in about a half an hour, honey. I love you.
All right, folks, we are back here inside Studio 2009, Christmas in July, with the Die Hard franchise. Any final thoughts from you? Anything you'd like to promote? Anything, sir?
I'm releasing a book next month.
Yay!
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Except it goes more like, yay! But yeah, I'm releasing a podcasting book next month, so
awesome.
There is that. Yeah.
What's it called? How many chapters? What's it gonna cost? Where can people get it?
14 chapters. It's called Altered Audio. Podcasting Demystified, and it's going to be on the Amazon Kindle for digital. It'll be on Amazon for the paperback and barnesandnoble.com for the paperback, and possibly it can end up in stores. I don't know, but that is a possibility.
Very cool.
So I'm geeked for it. I could have called it Altered Geek, but that just Altered Audio sounded better, because I was like, yeah, I gotta use the altered in it, you know, and play along with that theme still. But it is altering the audio, so
yeah, absolutely.
The goal is teaching about podcasting and not being a gatekeeper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So yeah. So yeah, I'm excited, and it will come out August 8th.
August 8th, 2025. Altered audio.
So expect me to be posting about that pretty frequently over the next couple weeks.
Very cool, very cool. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us here inside Studio 2009. Thank you for joining us. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. You can also visit shop.geekcastradio.com, buy our stuff. Pay us money, please. Buy our stuff.
Yes, you can get cool, I know some merch, people have.
Like, yeah, you can get cool merch like hats and shirts and mugs and mouse pads, question mark? I don't remember.
There are some.
I don't know. I don't know what merch you have in there. I still need to get that glass pop can at some point.
That's on my agenda for later.
Yes, yes.
I like it.
Yes.
I like it a lot.
I like it a lot. send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can listen to us and all the podcatching clients you choose to use. You can follow us on Twitter @GeekCastRadio, for the network @ItsStudio2009, all one word, for the podcast. I am @TFG1Mike. What is your Twitter?
@SCP21.
You can become a fan on Facebook. Go to Facebook.com/GeekCastRadio Network. So check out Studio 2009 podcast over there as well. Join us next time when Steve and I will be talking about Die Hard with a Vengeance. For now, I am TFG1Mike with
Steve Megatron.
You'll hear us back in the studio soon. Hey, look, I wasn't actually coughing through that outro. It's a miracle, folks! Because, the last one I was practically dying.
Oh, I love you so much.
John. Why does this keep happening to us?
Let's go home.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother.